True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you, let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
High drive, center field, hit the wall, grand slam. This is magnificent.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, Chris, and Adam.
What's going on, everybody? And welcome in to Fantasy Baseball Today. Happy Monday. Frank Stample joined by Scott White and Chris Towers. And I'm not used to this, but Scotty and I are talking beforehand. You had quite the eventful weekend, Scott. You got to tell everybody about it.
Yeah, well, I actually went somewhere and I actually did something. So wow. That raised an eyebrow for young Frank. Yeah, a group of friends and I, we did an escape room for the first time. Ooh. An escape room. We escaped. We made it out.
Oh, you did get out. Okay.
We did get out with 21 minutes to spare. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, well.
Maybe we
brag.
Set the bar a little too low.
You know,
we didn't
Scott.
Do the most difficult one we could. But yeah, it was my first one, and I would be lying if I said I was the leader of the pack or anything. But I contributed. I pointed some things out. I was instrumental, maybe. Yeah.
You were present at the very least.
At the very least, I was there.
And that's that's what I'm going for.
Yeah.
You know, and pretty much everything. It's just you get that present passing grade. You know,
have you guys ever done the escape room?
I've never done
it. I have not. No.
It looks fun. It sounds fun. I'm not opposed to doing it, but I'll have to make it happen. I have to make it happen.
You know those like point and click computer games, you know, point and click adventures where you like you put together like an inventory of items and then you like
that was Myst the one that was
Myst, sure.
Yeah, I
Myst.
Never got in. I never could figure it out. Too much
point. Myst, King's Quest. There's a lot of different versions. It's a whole genre. But yeah, it's kind of like living that, like, you know, kind of actually like living it out.
Very
it's still
nice.
It's still fake, but it feels a little more real, just a little.
Very nice. All right. Scotty Dubs, making things happen this weekend. How about you, Chris? How was the weekend for you?
It was good. I feel like I would only really be able to get into an escape room if they like maimed one person right at the beginning, just to like prove their stakes. I'm not saying like horribly injured, just like someone loses a finger if you get the first one wrong.
Oh my God.
And then, you know, I'm not going to be able to suspend my disbelief otherwise. my weekend was fun. I went to, Emo Night Karaoke down in Bushwick. Real hipster stuff from your guy Chris Towers.
Oh, we're gonna have to talk about this afterwards. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I do have to pick your brain.
Yeah, a lot of sweaty kids screaming along songs from 15 years ago. It was great.
Very nice. Very nice. All right, well, let's talk a little bit of baseball today on the show. We do have waiver ads and drops, starter sit for some pitchers who had questionable weekends. We have some trades and players on the IL and more. Let's start with the trade. We had Adam Frazier shipped on over to the San Diego Padres. Why would they do this? They split up the Babbitt Bandits. So no longer do we have Adam Frazier and Brian Reynolds on the same team. I was a little sad.
Never caught on, Frank.
I think the answer to the question lies within the question itself. If you're going to trade someone, you probably want to make sure it's one of the guys named the Babbitt Bandits. Because That probably tells you that this is the peak of their trade value.
Yeah, that is definitely a fair point. Adam Frazier to the Padres in exchange for Tuku Pita, Marcano, Jack Sawinski, and Mitchell Miliano. And Chris, I saw that you did write a reaction piece, which is currently live on CBSSports.com. And I think the biggest question for this entire trade is who loses playing time for the Padres currently? Is it Eric Hosmer, Will Myers, and do you think that Adam Frazier remains an everyday player now that he's on their team?
No, I think he's probably a most days player. But I think the Padres' approach is just we're going to get as many guys who can play as many spots as possible, and we're just going to figure it out. You know, maybe guys will get upset that they lose playing time, but, you know, this is a super talented team, and now they've got Frazier, Cronenworth, Kim, Profar as guys who can all, you know, really play at least in the corners, in the outfield and middle infield. So they're just a super versatile team right now. I think I would think the most likely people to lose playing time are probably Will Myers and Eric Hosmer.
Yeah.
We'll see if they actually do it with Hosmer, because they do have, what, 4 years, 3 years left on that contract. And that's an awkward situation.
He had already been sitting a fair amount with Cronenworth sliding over and Ha-Sung Kim getting some starts there.
But it wasn't like every lefty.
No.
But like, I mean, you could make a legitimate case that he just shouldn't be playing now, given how good Adam Frazier is against righties.
Right.
I don't know if that's actually going to happen. They could also just not play Will Myers. They could make a trade at some point and clear up some of this logjam. But I think the most likely outcome is you're probably going to see Adam Frazier playing something less than every day, and Eric Hosmer and Will Myers playing less than every day, even more than they have been. And, you know, I think the only real fantasy impact here is Adam Frazier goes from what I consider to be a relatively fringy starter once his, you know, numbers normalize to, you know, really like a bench bat or specialist kind of guy.
Sticking with the Padres and talking about Hosmer and Will Myers, it seems like their 2020 shortened seasons were definitely outlier performances for both of them, because they've really taken a step back this year. So I do think it makes sense that one or both of Hosmer and Will Myers will lose playing time moving forward. I pointed out on Twitter, you know, maybe Tommy Pham sits here or there against a tough righty to keep him healthy and keep him fresh, because obviously he's dealt with a lot over the past couple of years. It's not really anything talent related because he's really good, but I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he sits out a game here or there. We did have a trade back on Friday. Blockbuster. Rich Hill traded to the New York Mets for Tommy Hunter and catcher Matt Dyer. Hill made his debut on Sunday against the Blue Jays. 5 innings, 3 runs, only 1 strikeout, 74% roster. That number still seems too high, right, Scott?
And the fact that the Rays, who have a starting pitcher shortage and are more in it, I would say, than the Mets, even though the Mets lead their division, I would say the Rays have a better chance of winning the World Series than the Mets. The fact that they traded a win now piece to the Mets, I think it gives you a pretty good indication of what they think about Rich Hill. And it's been a long time since Rich Hill had a good start. June 5th, I would say, was his last good start. You could argue June 23rd, but he had 5 walks in that start, so was it really good? I'm surprised Rich Hill is that rostered still. And moving from the AL to the NL always favors a pitcher. I just don't think he's shown that he can miss bats like he used to, and is going to be pitching deep enough into games consistently that he's going to be worthwhile in fantasy, really.
All right. And I think you might be able to drop Rich Hill for someone I'm about to bring up here for Oh My Goodness Gracious. The latest trade rumor we heard on Sunday was Mark Feinsand of MLB.com reported the Mariners are making a push to acquire Whit Merrifield from the Kansas City Royals. So we'll see what happens.
Which would be
there.
Probably Bobby Witt time, right?
That's what I'm thinking.
I mean, he's been crushing it all year. You know, strikeouts a little high at Double A, but he's been awesome at Triple A so far.
It was really just May he was bad, and then he caught fire, and even the strikeout rate's only been like 20% since then.
Yeah, so I would think, regardless of if Merrifield gets traded, but especially if he gets traded, I think that's likely.
Fair enough. Let's talk about some standouts from the weekend.
Oh my goodness gracious.
All right, I'm going to kick us off here with Patrick Sandoval, who just a magnificent performance against the Minnesota Twins over the weekend. Took a no-hitter into the ninth inning, finishes 8 2/3, one hit, one run, one walk, 13 strikeouts, 21 swinging strikes on 108 pitches for Patrick Sandoval in this start. 13 of those swinging strikes came on the changeup. He's 46% rostered. He's going up against the Oakland A's this week, who actually struggle against left-handed pitching. Scott, would you, I think we're all right dropping Rich Hill for Patrick Sandoval, right?
Oh, yeah.
How excited are you about adding Sandoval? Like, what should this roster rate be by tomorrow or even like midweek?
What is it now, you said?
46% for Sandoval.
Is there any reason it shouldn't just be 100?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I was going to say. Double it. I mean, it's kind of a flippant answer, I guess, because I'm sure there are better pitchers that are rostered in less than that, than less than 92%.
But I mean, he's got four starts with at least 9 strikeouts in his last 8 since that big 10 strikeout game against the Mariners on June 6th. And he had been actually decent before that. But
yeah,
he's got a 3.40 ERA with 64 strikeouts and 50 innings over his last 8 starts. He's gone at least 6 in 5 of the 8.
No, he's somebody I want on my teams wherever he's available. At this point, I want him more than like Tarek Skubal, who had a bad start on Sunday. Yeah. Now, I know this start, and he had that amazing 30-something swinging strike effort earlier this season, but still, 16.3% swinging strike rate on the season for Patrick Sandoval. That would be tied with Clayton Kershaw for second in the majors if he had the innings to qualify, which, by the way, it's kind of amazing that Clayton Kershaw is tied for second in the majors, because that wasn't necessarily, that hasn't been his MO in recent years. Scherzer, for what it's worth, is first among qualifiers. I'm sure if DeGrom might not qualify anymore.
Yeah, Patrick Sandoval, he just, everything that we look for in a starting pitcher, 16% swinging strike rate, 53% ground ball rate. He's got a 3.52 ERA on the season overall, 3.47 XFIP, 3.65 Sierra. Everything lines up with Patrick Sandoval has been really, really good this season. So you should be buying in. And he is the must-add starting pitcher from the weekend, right? Even more so than names that we'll talk about later on. But Jameson Taillon has a quality start in 3 of his last 4. Domingo Herman took a no-hitter into the 8th inning on Sunday. Tyler McGill, 6 shutout against the Blue Jays. Tuki Toussaint on Sunday, 7 innings, 1 run, 10 strikeouts. Sandoval is even ahead of those names, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's got a 65.4% contact rate allowed. That's really, really good. It's not just, he's not just getting a bunch of called strikes or, you know, like, he's legitimately just been really, really hard to hit so far. I think he should be rostered. There shouldn't be a league where he's available, Well, that's just it.
Scott, you're making a real confused face right now.
A trade just went through in the Scott White Dynasty League. The best. So I'm 3-time defending champion, right? Trying to go for number 4 here, but it's looking dicey because there's another team that's really star studded, and that team just acquired Max Scherzer for very little.
Not a great call.
I'm sure I could have done better had I known Max Scherzer was available. That's always a bad feeling, right? When you see a trade go through that you know you could have beaten if you just knew to go for it, you know?
Yeah, that's not a great trade.
Especially when it's your primary competition.
I mean, I have a real shaky team. I think I might have been able to beat that one.
So what he got, since we're talking about, he got in exchange for Max Scherzer, who's unkeepable at his salary in all likelihood. But Tyler O'Neill, Braden Shoemake, who's a shortstop in the Braves organization, not very good numbers this year. And Nestor Cortez, a reliever for the Yankees, who is not a closer. Good numbers. Maybe he'll become a closer someday. But will he be kept long enough to be worth anything?
It's okay, Scott. You're tilting. You just got to move on.
I mean, maybe he'll get a rotation spot because he's been like a long reliever, right? Nestor Cortez. What do you think of Nestor Cortez long-term, Frank?
I'm not very excited about Nestor Cortez. I mean, he's kind of just been like a journeyman type swingman pitcher at this point in his career. And maybe he makes some spot starts. I don't know. He's someone that can give you a couple of innings out of the bullpen in relief. But no, I'm in a dynasty league. I'm not very excited about Nestor Cortez.
We're all disgusted. We're disgusted by this trade.
Ah, I'm sorry, Scott.
Dean Peterson. Calling you out by name. Dean Peterson.
Patrick Sandoval, he's a must add. Scott, oh my goodness gracious from the weekend, who you got?
Who do I have for oh my goodness gracious? Well, since we didn't talk about it before the show, I'm having to think of it all of a sudden here. And I'm going to go with Braxton Garrett because that start did make me say, oh my goodness gracious. And
someone didn't look at the notes.
That's fine.
I've got someone else.
Okay, fine. No, that's fine.
It's just funny.
Talk about Braxton Garrett. I'll look for somebody else.
I want you to talk about Braxton Garrett. You're so excited about it.
I'm not. Go ahead.
It's funny that of all the players we could choose from over the weekend, Scott chose the one name that Chris actually wrote down. So I do appreciate that.
I'll find somebody else.
Chris, tell
us. So Braxton Garrett had a really solid start against the Padres. Number that jumps out is 44% COP plus swinging strike rate. That was, I believe, the 14th highest in baseball this season. Didn't actually get a ton of whiffs, only 9 on 85 pitches. That's about 11-12%. But, had the command going really well in this one. Actually, if you look on his player page on CBS Sports, he has the M next to him. He got sent back down to the minors. That was with Sandy Alcantara coming back from the bereavement list. I would guess, given that the Marlins are down several pitchers, that we won't have to wait long to see Braxton Garrett. He is a former first-round pick, 7th overall, who's dealt with injuries. You look at the minor league track record, what he's done in the major so far, it doesn't look special. But given the track record of injuries, given the fact that he only pitched 15 innings before having Tommy John surgery, it could be that he's just kind of developing late. And so given the performance that he had against a very good Padres team, worth putting on your radar.
Yeah, that performance, 7 innings, 2 runs, 10 strikeouts, just 1 walk in this one. And I didn't watch the game live, but I caught highlights of the start here. And the umpire was definitely very generous in some of those called strikes.
Yeah, I'm pretty suspicious of it. I mean, he doesn't throw very hard. He used to throw pretty hard, like for a lefty. He used to throw low to mid 90s, and now he's pretty much 90-ish.
Maxed out at 91, yeah.
Yeah, and pretty good ground ball skills, but 10 strikeouts is really what stood out. And I don't think he's going to be that kind of pitcher. Could be wrong. Marlins have made a lot out of Zach Thompson, who looked like he had even less to work with, so... All right. Chris talked about his team's pitcher who had a 7-inning, 10-strikeout effort. I will talk about mine who had a 7-inning, 10-strikeout effort. And I think this one is going to be of greater interest to mixed leaguers. And his name is Touki Toussaint. Touki Toussaint. Yes, he did it again. Remember, his last start was a quality effort. I forget who it was against. This one was against the Phillies. His last one was a quality effort, but we said, he's done this before. He's had this kind of fake out start before. And you look at his overall numbers, though, obviously he never could sustain it. Well, now he's done it twice in a row after 2 great AAA starts before getting called up. The overall AAA number's not good. He's rehabbing from injury. And the last 2 ones were really good. This one, he really showed off the bat missing ability. Remember, we talked after his last start that his velocity was down from where we had seen it before. It was back up in this one. He got 16 swinging strikes, 8 on that gif-tastic curveball that he's always had. His delivery is noticeably different this year. It's much simpler. He says he's more direct to the plate now. That's usually a good thing for locating pitches with more consistency. And he may finally be putting it all together. I mean, he has an impressive arsenal. It's just didn't seem like he knew what to do with it. Maybe he does now. I think after 2 consecutive really strong starts here to begin his 2021 season in the majors, time to pick him up.
Tuki Toussaint, currently 38% rostered and is going up against the Milwaukee Brewers later this week. They are 19th in weighted on base average versus right-handed pitching on the season, though they have been much better over the last month or so. The biggest thing for me...
Or Frank?
Whoa, what's going on?
Your voice broke.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went to a boxing match on Friday, which is like completely random, but my buddy is in the NYPD and they were doing like a charity boxing event. So
yeah, I was wondering if it was like an underground, like Fight Club kind of scene.
Yeah, honestly, that's basically what
He broke the first rule if it was.
Yeah, that's true. It was inside of an amphitheater in Coney Island. Like, I don't know. It was super weird, but there was a lot of screaming, and I think my voice hasn't really recovered. So that's where I'm at right now. Anyway, Tuki Toussaint, I think the biggest thing for me in this start, 10 strikeouts to zero walks. He only has two walks now through his first two starts. Obviously, those two came in his first start against the Padres. 38% rostered. Chris, who would you rather add, Patrick Sandoval or Tuki Toussaint?
Oh, Patrick Sandoval, definitely. Okay. I mean, we've seen... Toussaint pitch. God, he might have more innings in his career than Patrick Sandoval at this point. And for the most part, he's been pretty underwhelming. These two starts have been very impressive, but you know, there are some things that stand out. You know, most notably his fastball velocity towards the end of the start, especially was, it's not that it was low. There were just like, it was really inconsistent. One pitch was 91, one pitch was 94. And so, you know, I think there have kind of always been questions about whether he'd be able to stick as a starter. You know, I think that still exists. Whereas, you know, I like what Sandoval's done a lot better.
All right. Before we hit the news and notes, the NBA playoffs have wrapped up, and that means it's the NBA draft season. CBS Sports HQ is your home for Thursday night's event. We'll have pick-by-pick coverage, including grades and expert analysis for both rounds. How to stream HQ, you can watch on the CBS Sports app on your phone. It even pops out so you can have it play while you're scrolling through Twitter. You can also watch using the CBS Sports app on your connected TV, and you can watch on your computer via our NBA Draft Tracker, which will be easily available on the CBSSports.com homepage. And it's all free and featuring our good friends Gary Parrish, Matt Norlander, Avery Johnson, Bill Ryder, and Rip Hamilton. So don't forget, NBA Draft coverage tips off at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on CBS Sports HQ this Thursday. And also, just one more reminder that we'll be doing a live Q&A mailbag stream on our YouTube channel Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Come hang out, bring your questions, we'll talk some trades, whatever's going on in the 7 o'clock games at the time. We'll have some fun. I'll do something special with my hair, since I believe this is the last live Q&A that we'll be doing for quite some time, because I'm on vacation the following week, and then obviously things are kind of ramping up with football and stuff, so taking on some more responsibilities. So come hang out on Monday. This will be our final live stream Q&A for quite some time. News and notes from the weekend. Angels manager Joe Maddon said that Mike Trout has been, quote, feeling something in his trained right calf while running recently and will return to Los Angeles on Monday to be evaluated by a doctor, including this season. I did a little bit of math. Mike Trout has now missed 26% of his games since the start of 2017. So, look, not all the injuries. Actually, I believe none of the injuries are related. But at some point, I mean, he's injury prone, right? So I don't know what this does for his draft value for next year, but I think
I look forward to drafting an injury discounted Mike Trout for next year.
I'm just saying, he misses time every year, Chris. So
it's been true.
And he's
there's no denying that.
He's going to be 30 years old going into next season as well. So I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, obviously we have even less of an idea when he's coming back now. And so,
yeah.
You know, if he finishes the season strong, probably still a first rounder, right?
Yeah.
Regardless, like, I can't imagine I'd pass him up in round two. Will you pass up Mike Trout in round two?
Well, that's the thing. He was having his best season offense. Well, as a hitter, he was having his best season before he went down. Obviously, it was only 36 games. He was outrageously good. You know, obviously 456 BABIP. Okay. That's not going to be sustainable, but it's also Mike Trout. So it's not like you looked at it and thought, oof, things are going to get real ugly for Mike Trout soon. He had a 422 expected WOBA too. So I don't know. If Mike Trout makes it to the second round, just consider yourself really lucky next season, because you may have gotten the best hitter in baseball for a second round pick.
Oh no, I was going to say, I think he's probably still a late first round pick. I don't know that he's going to fall out of the first round, but there's some stuff in the batted ball data. I mean, 42% ground ball rate is by far a career high. I don't know. I mean, we'll have a lot of time to talk about Mike Trout.
You can find nothing numerically that's going to concern me about Mike Trout. Nothing you could say. Nothing you can say, Frank. Don't even try.
28% strikeout rate, career high. Just saying. Jacob DeGrom threw off a mound on Sunday. He still does not have an official timetable, but he's been throwing and no reports of a setback.
It does sound like he's going to make a rehab start from what I saw.
All right. So we're trending in the right direction for Jacob DeGrom. Eloy Jimenez will join the White Sox on Monday and is in line for 7 games this week, though I wouldn't be surprised.
Don't just freeze through that, Frank. That's big news.
Eloy Jimenez?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you if we throw him right back in the lineup.
Of course. Well, maybe not. Maybe not in a 3 outfielder league. But he's had a long rehab assignment. He's been down there for like 2 weeks. So
12 games total.
Yeah. I doubt he's that rusty. Probably even a 3 outfielder leagues. Get him in there. You've been stashing him all this time, or maybe you haven't. Maybe you were like me and were able to pick him up in some league because people were worried he'd miss the whole season at some point. This is best case scenario in terms of timing, that coming back, and the fact that he's already withstood 2 weeks in the minors without suffering a setback. Feeling real good about old Eloy these days.
He's pretty young, actually.
Yeah, I'm throwing him at 30 in my outfield rankings for now, but if he looks good, there's no reason he can't go higher.
Of course.
Yeah, I think he's inside. 15. I think he's inside my top 40 right now. But yeah, I mean, now that he's healthy, I've got to move him up even further. Again, that is Eloy Jimenez returning on Monday. We do have some rehab updates. Carlos Carrasco at AAA on Sunday, 3 innings pitched, 2 hits, 0 walks, 3 shutout innings, by the way, 2 hits, 0 walks, 6 strikeouts. He threw 32 of 38 pitches for strikes. And then Chris Sale at AA, 3 2/3, 6 hits, 2 runs, 0 walks, 9 strikeouts. Chris Sale got all the way up to 64 pitches. So
Chris Sale's going to, it seems like Chris Sale is Chris Sale. It seems like he's okay. Like, obviously that doesn't mean he's going to be able to throw 100 pitches in his first start. It doesn't mean he's going to be able to stay healthy, but the numbers he's putting up in his minor league rehab assignment are exactly what you would expect Chris Sale to do against minor league players. He's got, I don't know if this is including the most recent one, but he has 20 strikeouts on 43 batters faced so far. That's like a 46% strikeout rate. Those poor hitters.
Yeah, it sounds like he has just one more rehab start left, by the way. And I would guess Carrasco is done after he bounced back from that awful rehab start last time. I suspect Carrasco's next turn will be in the majors.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing about Carrasco. 38 pitches. I think the first couple of times through the rotation, maybe it's only 4 or 5 innings, something like that. But Carrasco could be on his way to the New York Mets. Max Scherzer was scratched from his start this weekend with right triceps discomfort. Scherzer threw off flat ground Sunday and is expected to throw a bullpen session early this week before the Nationals determine whether he's fit to make his next start Thursday against the Phillies.
Well, and maybe that's why he went for a discount.
AKA, he could be traded at some point this week, and maybe the Nationals just want to keep him healthy. So
we'll see. He's already been traded, Frank.
That is true. Joe Ross will return on Monday, which means he'll have 2 starts against the Phillies and the Cubs. This is kind of suspicious to me because just last week we had a report that he did not feel well after throwing. So this seems kind of soon, but interest level in adding Joe Ross for these 2 starts.
He was pitching really well before the injury. I mean, he had like an 8-10 start run. I'm not sure exactly what the numbers were, but he was pitching really, really well. Over a strikeout per inning. I want to say he had his best start right before injury.
Yeah. I remember the velocity had been up for Joe Ross, which was especially good for him. Scott, would you rank Ross behind both Patrick Sandoval and Touki Toussaint?
Definitely Sandoval. Definitely behind Sandoval. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of trust in Joe Ross, but I have a little more in Toussaint. And Toussaint clearly has more upside. So it kind of depends what you're going for. I mean, if Joe Ross gets crushed twice this week, we might not see him on fantasy rosters again this year, you know?
Yeah, sure. And he's got to make it through these starts healthy, too. Again, I'm just very skeptical of of the entire thing. Steven Strasburg experienced neck discomfort again in his most recent bullpen. He'll visit a specialist on Monday. We finally had some confirmation on Freddie Peralta's workload. He went just four innings on Friday, and then manager Craig Counsell said the Brewers will continue to deploy tandem pairings to pitch games for the rest of the season in order to keep starting pitchers fresh. Notice they didn't just say this about Freddie Peralta. They kind of said it about just their starting pitchers. I don't know that they're actually going to do this with Woodruff, who kind of just seems like a workhorse.
I guess it's not Woodruff, yeah.
But, I mean, maybe with Corbin Burns, he had a six-inning start over the weekend, too. So just keep that in mind. Alex Bregman will report to AAA Sugarland to begin his rehab assignment on Monday. Jack Flaherty will begin his rehab assignment Tuesday at AAA Memphis. Clayton Kershaw threw a bullpen session Saturday and will pitch in a simulated game on Tuesday. Corey Seager has been swinging and moving around. Nice. I move around. Manager Dave Roberts said Sunday that Seager will most likely require a rehab assignment before being reinstated. Alek Manoah will not return on Monday, which was previously reported. Instead, he will throw a 60 to 75 pitch simulated game. Luis Severino tossed two simulated innings and totaled 38 pitches at Fenway Park on Saturday. Luke Voit is doing significantly better with his knee injury and could return the first week of August. Lucas Sims' first rehab outing is coming Tuesday this week. Do you guys think that Sims hops right back into the closer role? It's been a mess all season. Heath Embry's been okay, I guess, recently.
He's been pretty good, actually. Yeah, I mean, his overall July. His overall numbers aren't great, but neither are Lucas Sims. So that bullpen has been anybody's guess basically since Amir Garrett lost the job in week one.
And I
don't think that changes. I think I wouldn't be so quick to drop Hembry if I picked him up.
The Padres are targeting an early August return for Dinelson Lamet, and he's most likely to work out of the bullpen as a multi-inning reliever upon being activated. Nick Solak was demoted to AAA after batting just 192 this season. Michael Fulmer could return to the Tigers on Monday. And that's another one where I'm not so sure that he just jumps right back into the closer role. Gregory Soto has pitched very well for them recently. These players went to the IL this weekend. Mookie Betts finally with that right hip inflammation. He did get a cortisone shot over the weekend, but I guess he did not respond well to it. So he's eligible to return until August 3rd. So get Mookie Betts out of your lineup. Same thing with Nick Castellanos. Obviously with that microfracture in his right wrist. Trevor Rogers, this kind of came out of nowhere. Maybe it's actually an injury, lower back muscle spasms. It could be a way to limit his innings pitch. So Trevor Rogers sucks. Obviously, he was a top 25-ish starting
pitcher. Wait a second. I think he's good, Frank.
Trevor Rogers is awesome. This injury sucks.
He included some words in that sentence he said. He said Trevor Rogers sucks.
Trevor Rogers does not suck. So, oh, man. I'm banged up, guys. Josh Rojas dislocated his left pinky. He's on the IL. Luis Arraez with right knee discomfort. And Colin McHugh with arm fatigue. We do have some players that are currently questionable for the start of the week. So how do you feel about starting any of these? Aaron Judge joined the Yankees on Sunday and reports indicated he could join the team against Tampa Bay on Tuesday. Get him in the lineup?
Yeah, I would say so.
How about Cody Bellinger, who was out Sunday with a hamstring? He's also just been very bad.
Yeah, I think it's fine to sit him. I have no idea, man.
Yeah, I just want to sit him regardless.
Yeah.
Regardless of health, you know?
Yeah. I don't blame you. Javier Baez suffered a lower body injury in the eighth inning Sunday, but remained in the game. Sounds like he'll be all right.
If it was something to be worried about, given the fact that they may trade everyone, I feel like they probably would have pulled him.
Yeah. Franmil Reyes was out Sunday with back spasms. What do you think?
I'd start him.
It'd have to be a shallow league to sit him, yeah.
And the last one, Alex Cobb left Friday with a blister, though he was pitching pretty well. He's up against the Oakland A's this week. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think you can take that chance. I had him in my sleeper pitchers article for this week, but I took him out. I mean, too likely he just misses the start or gets removed very early.
Yep. Blisters are scary.
We are going to take a quick break, but when we return, we're going to talk about some hitters. It's about time. We'll do it next here on Fantasy Baseball Today. Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed.
The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
All right, so let's rank some waiver wire hitters, and we talk about Joey Votto, which seems like every day. He had another very solid weekend, 5 hits with 2 home runs. He is 68% rostered, but Andrew Vaughn is also playing very well. He has 8 hits over his last 4 games, including 1 home run. He's 69% rostered. Dominic Smith is another similar player to these two, where Smith and Vaughn both have first base and outfield eligibility. Obviously, Votto only has first base eligibility, but Dom Smith has been hot for the month of July. So, Chris, how would you rank these three? Votto, Dom Smith, Andrew Vaughn.
I think I would go Votto, Vaughn, Smith.
Boo.
That's what I'd do. I'm right there with you, Chris.
Oh, Vaughn, even Vaughn over Dom Smith?
Yeah.
Vaughn since June 15th, not including today's game, 318 batting average, 926 OPS. And the strikeout rate is like 20% during that time. 318, 926 OPS for
There have been like up and down in the batted, like the batted ball numbers have been, you know, they'll alternate between like looking really good and not being as impressive as you would think, but for the most part, he's hit the ball really hard this season. That's been one thing that's been consistent for him. And so now we're starting to see the, you know, the contact skills that we talked about a lot coming into the season.
I also want to say for Votto, like his roster rate has been stuck at 2/3 for too long.
Yeah.
Like it's ridiculous. He, since coming back from a fractured thumb June 8th, again, not counting Sunday stats, his slash line is 296, 398, 521. He hit his 9th home run during what's less than a 2-month span since returning from that fractured thumb. He hit his 9th home run Sunday. Like, he's not just must roster, he's must start, Joey Votto.
And the thing about it was, you know, even when he wasn't hitting all that well early in the season, the underlying numbers were all really, really impressive. And we saw this second half last season, you know, the last month or so, where he started trading contact for power. And, you know, that's been, he's striking out 24% of the time. His pace since coming back from the IL is like 170 strikeouts. You know, he's not the guy he once was, but he's crushing the ball. He's 92nd percentile in average exit velocity, 91st in max exit velo, 87th in hard hit rate. Yeah, he's just been awesome this season.
Yeah, and someone else who's been awesome this season, and I brought his name up last week. Let's talk about him again. Harrison Bader, 6 hits, including 2 homers this weekend, and he is only 20% rostered in CBS leagues right now. The overall numbers, he's up to 289 batting average with an 866 OPS. Plate discipline is much better than we've ever seen from him in his career. 16% strikeout rate currently represents a career best. So where do you guys think Harrison Bader should be added? What level of leagues?
5 outfielder. I added him in Memorial Magazine League this weekend. It's a 12-team 5 outfielder. Granted, my team is embarrassingly bad in it, and I could probably use whatever outfielder emerges, but no, I mean, really, the fact his strikeout rate is half of what it was last year, and there's power and there's speed for Harrison Bader. He's obviously missed a lot of it this year because he's hurt, but if he hadn't, I mean, we might be talking about him as like a top 30 outfielder right now.
How would you rank these? Go ahead, Chris.
I don't necessarily buy the power that he's hitting for so far, but you know, he's always been someone who could go 20-20. So it's not out of the question that, you know, he can play at that pace rest of season with a much better batting average than we've seen.
Yeah, we've seen twice in Harrison Bader's career where he had double-digit home runs and steals in the same season. So how would you rank these outfielders? They're all rostered in less than 50% of CBS leagues. Jock Peterson had 4 hits this weekend, including a home run on Saturday. He has 8 games this upcoming week, and Jorge Soler had a double dong on Sunday. He's only batting .212 in the month of July, but he is doing that with 5 home runs. So Bader, Jock Peterson, Jorge Soler, how would you rank those 3?
You just did.
Sweet. Let's talk about a few catchers. Max Stassi went 3-for-4 with a triple and hit his 8th home run of the season on Sunday. He's 48% rostered. How would you rank these 3 catchers? Mitch Garver, Eric Haas, Max Stassi. They are all rostered in 50% or less of CBS leagues.
I think I'm going Garver number 1. He had that 2 homer game when he first came back and then immediately went on paternity leave, which I was thrilled that he went on paternity leave for reasons I went into on a Friday show. But yeah, I think I'd still go him number 1. Just he was so good like the last month leading into getting hurt. And you know, I think he has the most upside clearly of this group. Mm-hmm. Max Stassi number 2 and Eric Haas 3.
Okay, I agree with that.
Let's talk about these in 2 catcher leagues. Dalton Varsho, all of a sudden, don't look now, 9 hits over his last 5 games, including 3 home runs. He's 25% rostered, and he actually led off on Sunday for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Alejandro Kirk returned over the weekend. He had 2 hits on Sunday. We know that if things are going well for him, he can provide some batting average from the catcher position. All of these names are rostered in 25% or less of CBS leagues. So maybe some 2 catcher leagues, but between Varsho, Kirk, Luis Torrens, and Cal Raleigh, who are both on the Seattle Mariners, the Mariners have seemingly 3 catchers that are going to find ways to get in the lineup between those two and Tom Murphy. How would you rank that group? Varsho, Kirk, Torrens, and Raleigh.
I think I want to take a flyer on Dalton Varsho right now. He's showing signs of coming around. He has, I'm seeing what he did on Sunday. He only got 1 hit on Sunday, but 4 straight 2-hit games before that, including a couple home runs. And clearly he's getting, 3 home runs. So 4 straight 2-hit games, 3 straight with a home run leading into Sunday. And clearly getting consistent playing time now, Stephen Vogt being out of the picture. I think I'll take a chance on the upside there with Varsho.
Yeah, he is playing almost exclusively catcher right now. I do wonder if maybe Rojas' injury might get him a look in the outfield.
He started at center field on Tuesday, on Sunday.
There you go. So yeah, that alone, I mean, if he's playing 7 out of every 10 games, that probably gives him an edge in playing time against most catchers. And the fact that he's got some pop and some speed, you know, yeah, I think he's definitely the one worth taking a flyer on.
I do want to mention, though, Luis Torrens, who, as you mentioned, Frank, has a lot of competition behind the plate for the Mariners. Since coming back from the minors, because he struggled early on, got sent to the minors, in 28 games, 10 home runs. In 28 games since coming back from the minors. I'm not really sure where that came from. He had one year in the minors where he hit for power, but otherwise he didn't. So I don't know. I have a hard. It's a stat that's been a head scratcher for me since he came up. But certainly, like 2 catcher leagues, if Torrens is out there, you need to make a play for him because why not?
I do want to throw out. You know, let's not overlook Alejandro Kirk, who has a very, very good minor league track record, and is only 22 years old. He had a 923 OPS at AAA this season when he played there, 829 so far in the majors. You know, this is a guy who makes a ton of contact. And if the playing time's there, I think he's a useful fantasy catcher as well.
Yeah, I think all these guys are pretty interesting. And specifically with Kirk, I mean, it's cheap exposure to one of the most exciting lineups in all of baseball. So, I'm definitely interested if, again, these are names that could be available in 2 catcher leagues, or if you play in a deeper 1 catcher league, some interesting names there in Varsho, Kirk, Torrens, and Cal Raleigh. Before we get back to some pitching, Just want to remind everyone that it's the final week. We are finalists for the sports category of the People's Choice Podcast Awards. We appreciate all that you do for us, and we hope that you enjoy our show enough to nominate us to advance to the final round. To nominate Fantasy Baseball Today, go to podcastawards.com/app/signup and then toggle down the sports category. We've included the link at the top of the episode description as well. The drop-o-meter, let's fire it up. And let's get in some questions this weekend. I think it's time to talk about it. Zach Gallen at the Cubs, 4 innings, 6 hits, 3 walks, 7 earned runs. The ERA up to 4.80. The whip is at 1.40. And he's pitching through the UCL damage. Remember that. He's, you know, he has the elbow injury. He's still 86% rostered. Zach Gallen, where is he on the drop-o-meter?
I can't imagine dropping him, really. I'm concerned. I don't think I really want to start him right now. I know his previous start was pretty good results-wise, but I'm not sure I was fully back on board even after that one. So I'll drop-o-meter, I'll say 2. I don't think it's quite a 0, because in a 10-team league, I could see doing it.
The tough thing is that you would feel better about dropping him if his velocity had been significantly impacted, because that would be a sign that, hey, there might be something, you know, that's actually wrong besides the fact that he's pitching through UCL damage. but that it was like really affecting him physically. And maybe it's just the case that he's trying to overthrow as a result of not quite having all the arm strength there, and it's making him pitch poorly. I'm in a league where I probably should drop him. Him and Chris Paddock have just been dead weights on my roster for a long time.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I haven't done it yet, but I probably should.
So you guys wouldn't drop him for Patrick Sandoval? That's close, because obviously we raved about how awesome Sandoval has been.
If it came down to it, I probably would. I just imagine I have somebody I could drop easier for Sandoval.
Yeah. Well, let's do the same thing for Tarek Skubal, who was at the... I was about to say Chiefs. Every time I see KC, man, that's like a mental block. Tarek Skubal at the Royals this weekend. 5 innings, 5 runs, 0 walks. That's good news. 4 strikeouts in that one. His velocity was actually up, which, okay. 1.7 miles per hour on his fastball. It was up 1.1 miles per hour on his slider. Tarek Skubal is still 79% rostered. Where is he on the drop-o-meter?
5. Take him or leave him at this point. He still seems like a work in progress. He's made progress this year, but...
I would prefer not to.
Yeah.
I think I'd be more on the 4 side of 5. Just because how good he was the 10 starts before that, 323 ER, before the last 4, sorry, before the month of July, where he's given up 14 earned runs in 4 starts. He had a 3.23 ERA, 76 strikeouts, and 55 and two-thirds innings over a 10-start stretch. And that coincided with him, I believe, using his sinker more and swapping out the splitter for a changeup, and it really seemed to have made a big impact for him. And even this month, he's got 19 strikeouts, only 2 walks. So, again, my preference would be to not drop him, but I understand if you have to.
Next up, we have Patrick Corbin, who I bring up a lot on the drop-o-meter, but he's still 79% rostered. And this weekend, 5 1/3, 5 hits, 5 runs. His velocity was way up. Slider was up 3 miles per hour. His fastball was up nearly 2 miles per hour for Patrick Corbin. Where is he on the drop-o-meter?
I don't give out 10s much, but it's a 10. I don't really...
I was going to say on the 10 side of 9.
All right, so... Corbin, get him off your team. Last one here, Zach Thompson up against the Padres. 5 innings, 3 runs, only 3 strikeouts. The velocity was down. Cutter was down almost 2 miles per hour. Fastball down 1.8 miles per hour. He's still 58% rostered. Going up against the Yankees this week is Zach Thompson. But there's a lot of exciting pitchers emerging right now. So would you be all right dropping someone like Thompson, Scott, who I know you like, for maybe Sandoval or Tuki Toussaint?
I would drop him for Sandoval for sure. For Tuki Toussaint, I mean,
I'd be fine with it.
Thompson has RP eligibility, so in points leagues, I think I would definitely prefer him. I'm on the drop-o-meter. I'm going to give Thompson a. I'm going to recalibrate. I'm going to join Chris in giving Skubal a 4. so that I could give Thompson a 5, because I don't want to quite go 6 on Thompson, but
you're on the, you know, the
if it was between dropping Scoobal and Thompson, I would drop Thompson.
You're on the 5 side of 5 with Thompson.
Yeah, that's okay. Exactly what I was thinking, Chris. You read my mind. Waiver wire starting pitchers part 1. We've talked a ton about Patrick Sandoval already, but Jameson Taillon was at the Red Sox this weekend. 7 innings, 3 runs. Only one of those was earned. He had 4 strikeouts, 15 swinging strikes on 100 pitches for Jameson Taillon. He has a quality start in 3 of his last 4. Domingo Germán took a no-hitter into the 8th inning on Sunday. 7+, 1 hit, 1 run, 10 strikeouts to just 1 walk. Tyler McGill up against the Blue Jays on Friday. 6 shutout with 5 strikeouts to just 1 walk, and we spoke about Tuki Toussaint as well. So how would you guys rank this group? Sandoval, Taillon, Germán, McGill, Toussaint.
Sandoval, I guess Taillon, but I'm pretty unenthusiastic about both Taillon and, to an even more strong degree, Domingo Germán. But I do like them better than the other two, so.
I feel like Toussaint's I feel like Taillon's coming around. Two very French sounding T names.
I mean, he had the 9 strikeout game against the Mariners, 9 strikeouts in 7 innings. But before that, obviously, he had been thoroughly mediocre for a long time. And in the 3 starts since then, 11 strikeouts in 18 in the 3rd inning, 7 walks. I don't know. Maybe, like, I guess it's entirely possible that
The
underlying numbers, yeah, are better than the face value numbers, but I don't see it.
He had a lot of what day did he start, Taillon? He had a lot of swinging strikes for not having many strikeouts. 15 swinging strikes, yeah. In this latest effort, even but though
10 in the previous start, 7 in the previous start,
yeah, I know. I mean,
the game was only 10.
He was a guy, and you know, he was a pretty good pitcher with the Pirates, even though he wasn't much of a strikeout pitcher. He's somebody who could get away with that, and I don't know. Maybe I'm just being too results oriented, but I've believed in Taillon all year, and now he's getting the results. And so I kind of want to stick with him. So Sandoval, Taillon, I'll go Toussaint over Germán. I'm not really sure what's been going on with Germán lately, but
he hadn't thrown more than 5 innings. He hadn't even finished 5 innings in an outing since June 6th.
Eight appearances, yeah. Less than 5 innings for Germán, though 3 of them were in relief, for what it's worth. But yeah, this was a really good start, obviously, in every measure. But I'll go him 4th after Toussaint, and then I'll go McGill last. McGill's look pretty good, but the swinging strike rate is meh. The ground ball rate is okay. I'm not sure about McGill yet.
Also, I'm sure Frank doesn't agree. Losing a start where your starting pitcher has a no-hitter into the 8th and you have a 4-run lead that's hilarious.
I don't want to talk about it. I mean, I opened Friday's podcast with like a tirade because, I mean, just what happened Thursday and then Sunday, I don't know. Someone tweeted at us on Sunday, and they were like, check in on Frank. And I sent out the GIF, like, I am dead inside, Michael Scott. And it's just, That's exactly where I am at this point, but who cares about that? Anyway, for Taillon and Domingo Germán, they are both at the Miami Marlins this week, so great matchups there for both those guys. Yeah. We have like 5 to 10 minutes left, and there's a lot of stuff to talk about, so let's really make it brief here. Waiver wire pitchers, part 2. Who do you like most from this group? David Price, Ryan Yarbrough, Tristan McKenzie gave us a quality start over the weekend. Merrill Kelly, his last 7 starts, he's got a 2.62 ERA. Josiah Gray up against the Rockies. Only went 4 innings, 6 strikeouts, 19 swinging strikes for Josiah Gray. So Price, Yarbrough, McKenzie, Merrill Kelly, Gray. Who's your 1 or 2 favorites?
If I can only pick up 2, definitely picking up Price, who's going to stay in the rotation. It sounds like it's stretched out even more. And McKenzie, I mean, 2 of the starts have been awesome. 1's been terrible since he got called back up, but the walks have been low throughout. I just dropped him in a league before the start, but I would pick him up over Gray just because I don't think Josiah Gray is going to stick around for long, but definitely some interesting stuff from Josiah Gray.
Mm-hmm. If you do need streamers this week in deeper-ish leagues, deeper than a points league, Marco Gonzalez is going up against Texas, and Ross Stripling is going up against the Kansas City Royals. These are very deep waiver wire starting pitchers. Anyone that stands out here, Chris Bubich, 6 innings, 1 run, 4 strikeouts. Daniel Lynch was recalled on Sunday against the White Sox, 8 shutout with only 4 strikeouts. His spin rates were down like over 300 RPM, which I don't know. I don't really understand the start. And then Kyle Freeland at the Dodgers this weekend, 7 innings, 1 run, 6 strikeouts. He's got a 2.06 ERA over his last 6 starts. So very deep leagues. Bubich, Lynch, Freeland. Anything?
I might go with Lynch just because he has the best pedigree and just hoping he figured something out. But I don't really think he did. I mean,
Triple A numbers are awful. Really mediocre.
Awful. And they didn't get much better leading up to this promotion. So, yeah, I got my doubts about this start from Daniel Lynch.
I also just want to go back to Marco Gonzalez for just 1 second. I'm not saying you shouldn't stream him this week, but it's just something I've noticed. He has like the worst xERA I've ever seen for a pitcher in the Statcast era for a starting pitcher. He's at 7.86 xERA.
Oh, howie.
That is, he has a 303 expected batting average and a 602 expected slugging percentage allowed.
That seems mathematically impossible.
It's
to have an xERA that high.
Yeah. It's weird.
What will that say about the Texas Rangers when he delivers 6 innings of shutout ball against them? That's very bad. Definitely worth noting there. Starter sit this week, and I have, a bunch of names here, but they are all kind of questionable right now. Zach Plesac at the Chicago White Sox. Let's assume a 12-team league.
What if he's just not good?
Definitely possible.
I mean, his peripherals are awful across the board.
And the White Sox are very good against righties, and they're getting Eloy Jimenez back.
I think you said him.
I'm with it. Tyler,
I might drop him for Toussaint if it came to it.
Oh, well, I guess that means you would definitely do it for Patrick Sandoval if he's available.
Of course.
Tyler Malley this week, he is at the Cubs. He has 3+ walks in 4 straight starts.
I mean, the Cubs could have like one minor major league player in their lineup by that point. I would probably start him.
All right. Joe Musgrove is going up against the Rockies in San Diego this week. His last 4 starts before a quality start that he had this weekend, he had a 7.36 ERA.
Yeah, I'd start him.
Yeah.
Hyunjin Ryu, starter sit at Boston. He gave up 10 hits and 3 runs to the New York Mets this weekend.
I'm fine sitting him.
Yeah, but I'm fine starting him too. I'd lean towards starting. I know the strikeouts haven't been there lately, but he's still been...
You're on the start side of sit.
Yeah.
Taijuan Walker gave up 6 runs against the Blue Jays. Obviously, it's a really tough matchup. 11 earned runs over his last 2 starts. Start or sit versus the Braves this week?
I'm on the sit side of start.
I've been waiting. Like, I didn't want to like poo-poo it when it was happening, but I've just been kind of waiting for things to go wrong for Taijuan Walker. He's been pitching over his head all season long. I'd probably sit him.
I feel like him and Joe Ross, it was like, I don't really buy this, but it's getting hard to talk him down. Yeah, it's regressing here for Walker.
Some regression also for Kevin Gausman. Over his last 5 starts, he has a 4.97 ERA and a 1.50 whip, 6 walks per 9 during that stretch. He's going up against the Houston Astros this week that are 3rd in weighted on base average versus right-handed pitching. Start or sit?
Start.
I'd still start him, yeah.
All right, John Means, start or sit at the Tigers this week. He has allowed 9 earned runs over 11 and two-thirds since he came off the IL.
I'd start him.
Against the Tigers, yeah. I think so. I'm pretty concerned about John Means at this point, but keep feeding him these great matchups.
Detroit Tigers, 10th in weighted on base average over the last 30 days. Just saying.
Yeah.
Scott ain't buying it. Sonny Gray got destroyed on Sunday. 3 1/3 innings pitched, 8 hits, 8 runs. Curveball spin rate was down 432 RPM in this one. Starter sit at the Mets. Sonny Gray.
I'd still start him.
Yeah, but that matchup, yeah.
Framber Valdez had 6 no-hit innings against the Texas Rangers, but it did come with 6 walks. He now has 5 or more walks in 3 of his last 5 starts, Framber Valdez. Starter sit at the Giants this week.
I'd start, and I'll point out that his opponent in this start, in which he walked six, was Kyle Gibson, who walked eight.
Yeah.
So there's a Twitter account that's like gives out scorecards for umpires every game based on how close they were on balls and strikes. And I meant to look it up, but I just wondered if the umpire had a bad game that day.
Last one. But it's still, you know, 11% strike walk rate for the season now. It's not quite where it was pre-2020, but, you know, 2020 is increasingly looking like the outlier.
Last one here, Yu Darvish, which seems obvious, but four starts in July, 7.32 ERA. Start or sit versus the Rockies this week?
Start.
He's had three bad walk starts, Framber Valdez, and the rest have been fine. And let's not forget, I mean, the first six starts he made this year, we were loving him. We were like,
oh, yeah. I was all about it. I have him ranked inside my top 30 starting pitchers, so I've probably been the most vocal about Framber Valdez.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying there's no reason for concern with the walks, but I'm definitely still leaning toward Framber Valdez is really good.
It's just true that last year looks like the outlier with his walk rate. That doesn't necessarily mean it is true. It just appears to be true on July 26th.
Did want to point out, Frankie Montas and Yusei Kikuchi both had fantastic starts over the weekend. Quality starts, six innings, three runs, 10 strikeouts for Frankie Montas. He's got a 2.89 ERA over his last three starts. Splitter usage is way up as well. And then Yusei Kikuchi changed his pitch mix, like completely changed his pitch mix.
Yeah, he had a career high changeup usage, right? In this one?
So coming into that start, 38% cutter usage, 10% changeup usage for the season. And in this one, 31% changeup, 7% cutter. So he basically swapped the cutter and changeup usage, and he was fantastic. They were both great, Montas and Kikuchi. So
9 strikeouts on the changeup.
Yep.
In that outing.
Montas threw his splitter more. Like, it's always been a good pitch for him, but he threw it like 15% of the time. He threw it like 50% of the time, at least according to StatCast. And obviously, he got a lot of whiffs with it.
A few names that we're not going to be able to expound upon, but were very good. Nathan Eovaldi against the Yankees. Luis Castillo's last 10 starts, he's got a 1.71 ERA. Aaron Nola finally gave us a start that we needed to see. 8 2/3 shutout with 9 strikeouts. He credited this performance to working on his fastball in bullpen sessions recently and basically the command of that pitch. So kind of helped everything else play up in this one against the Braves. And then Tony Gonsolin, who didn't really have a studly performance, but definitely was a good start and something we needed to see. 5 1/3 shutout with 7 strikeouts against the Colorado Rockies. The call to the pen, some bullpen updates from this weekend. For the Royals on Friday, Scott Barlow was used in the 8th. Greg Holland got his 7th save of the season. And then on Saturday, Greg Holland was Greg Holland. And he gave up a 2-run homer in the 9th. He was relieved by Wade Davis, who recorded the final out for his 2nd save of the season. For the Twins on Friday, Taylor Rogers got his 9th save. Hansel Robles has been pretty bad recently. For the Rockies on Friday, Daniel Bard allowed a run, but took his 6th save. For the Mariners on Friday, Kendall Graveman, 10th save. For the Yankees, Aroldis Chapman gave up a hit and a walk. He struck out 2 and earned a save on Saturday. For the Orioles, Dylan Tate got his 2nd save of the season, with Cole Sulcer and Paul Fry unavailable. Heath Hembree, we mentioned, has pitched much better recently. He got his 8th save on Saturday. Brad Hand recorded just 1 out on Sunday. He gave up 2 runs. He took his 4th blown save. For the Phillies, Ranger Suarez recorded just 1 out for his 4th save on Sunday. They keep talking about Craig Kimbrell as a possibility for the Phillies, so that would crush all of Ranger Suarez's value, though he has pitched pretty well for them. For Cleveland on Sunday, James Karinchak pitched in the 8th to face 2-3-4 in the lineup. With Cleveland down 1 run at the time, they took the lead, and then Emmanuel Clase got his 12th save. And then the Dodgers, with Kenley Jansen unavailable, Joe Kelly got his 1st save of the season. And they're another team where they can go out and make a move for a reliever, apparently. That's what Buster Olney said on the Sunday night broadcast. Anything you guys would like to add on these bullpens?
Karinchak's been a little shaky since the sticky substance ban. Correlation does not equal causation, but he's got 11 walks, 16 strikeouts, and 15 innings, 3.60 ERA. So it was just something I noticed the other day.
Let's wrap up with to stream or not to stream for Monday. Kyle Muller at the Mets, Joe Ross at the Phillies, Mike Minor versus the White Sox, Michael Pineda versus the Tigers, and Matt Manning at the Twins.
Going to go Kyle Muller at the Mets. Going to go Michael Pineda versus the Tigers. And if you need a third, I'll go Joe Ross at Philly.
Yeah, I'll go Ross, Muller, Ross, and then Pineda.
All right. For Tuesday, we have Spencer Watkins versus the Marlins, Tyler Anderson versus the Brewers, Brett Anderson at the Pirates, the battle of Mr. Andersons, Austin Gomber at the Angels, Jordan Montgomery at the Rays, and Shane McClanahan versus the Yankees.
I think I'll go McClanahan one. I'm never opposed to starting Jordan Montgomery. So I'm okay with him at Tampa Bay and Austin Gomber at the Angels. I'm fine with that too. I feel okay about all of those.
Yeah, I like all three of those guys.
All right. For Scott, Chris, I'm Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Bye-bye. Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. Homes.com offers in-depth neighborhood guides with detailed video overviews, comprehensive narratives, and unbiased information from a multitude of sources. You thought we'd go in-depth with player analysis on Fantasy Baseball Today? You haven't seen anything yet. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. When looking at local schools, they offer test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.